You see, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has highlighted something as very prominent in his teachings by his own example. You will observe this repeating theme in Chaitanya Charitamrita. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw one Orissan lady climbing on his shoulder to see the darshan of Lord Jagannath, she was keeping one foot on Lord Chaitanya and another foot on Garuda Stambha. So Garuda is the greatest devotee. On Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. So she was simultaneously offending Lord and his pure devotee. Still, Mahaprabhu glorified her. Why? He was telling Govinda, I wish I have such eagerness like her in taking darshan of Jagannath. He says like that. So, Jadurani Mataji wanted to put a picture on the wall. So she climbed on a Vyasasana and put the picture. So some Prabhuji noted that and said, see, Vyasasana is supposed to be occupied only by Acharya, our great Vaishnavas who are supposed to represent Vyas there. You cannot put your foot on Vyasasana. It's considered offensive, they said. So she was a little doubtful. So next day when Prabhupada arrived there, she asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, is it wrong? After all, I am putting Krishna's picture only on the wall. So is it wrong on my part to climb on a Vyasasana and put it? Prabhupada said, for Krishna's service, you can even climb on my head also. He said. So at that time, Prabhupada explained, in spiritual world, there is only one rule to be followed. That means one should love Krishna. There is only one prohibition to be followed. What is it? One should not envy Krishna. So, if we follow these two rules, all other rules and regulations are subordinate to this. If you will see, there is one saying you may know, all is fair in love and war. You heard this? So, if something is done out of love, it is easily forgiven even if there are some mistakes. Even the very attempt to express one's love towards the beloved, even if there are many mistakes in it, those mistakes are ignored. And that good intention, can you give an example for this? Somebody had a good intention to express one's love, but in the course of attempting they failed. But still it was accepted as a gesture of great love. Yes. That's the example came to my mind. Jatayu's desire was to save Mother Sita and hand her over to Ram, which he couldn't do. But despite his inability to do, in bhakti, inability is not counted as insincerity at all. So he was unable, but his very gesture was so much appreciated by Lord Rama. He told him that I will do Antyeshti for you and send you to Vaikuntha. There is one book called as Ati Manusha Stotram. That Ati Manusha means beyond human. So this book has only few shlokas only. It's very popular one in South India. One shloka in this book says, Lord Rama got exposed when he made it. When in two instances, Lord Rama's supremacy got exposed, he says. He could not hide himself behind the human garb, he says. One of the instances is this one. Is Jatayu. Because Jatayu, Lord Ram openly told him, Jatayu, I will send you to Vaikuntha. And if Lord Rama was supposed to play a human role, no human can say, I will send you to Vaikuntha. Like that he says. And another instance is when Lord Rama showed the entire Pattabhishek Darshan to Mother Parvati in Panchavati. That's another time. Because Lord Rama was weeping and Parvati took Sita's form and came in front of Lord Rama to pacify him. But Lord Rama fell at her feet and said, oh, Mother Parvati, are you traveling alone? Where is Shiva? He asked him. That time she was shocked. She was taken by surprise. And then she sat on the ground in great astonishment. At that time, when she saw Lord Rama, Rama was going in the opposite side, But then suddenly she saw a sight of Sita, Ram, Lakshmana, Hanuman, Bharat, Shatrughna holding umbrella and doing, you know, waving the chamar and the whole Patabhishek darshan she saw. So Lord Rama proved he is not an ordinary human being. So in this way, the Atimanusha Sastram tells many shlokas, this is one of them. So in this way, the endeavor of Jatayu to please Ram itself was so much glorified. Yes, very attempted, sir. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu admired this type of bhava or love in that Orison lady. And when Lord Chaitanya went to South India, can anybody say where he admired this type of similar type of bhava or love in someone? Yeah? Where? The Brahmana who was reading Bhagavad Gita in the Srirangam temple, isn't it? He could not read it properly. He was not a great scholar. But although there were many other Brahmanas teasing him, he continued to read and there were tears in his eyes. So Mahaprabhu asked him, why you, if you don't understand, then how do you have tears? So he said that, the Lord of the universe is becoming a chauffeur, a charioteer, driver of his own devotee. That is melting my heart, he said. So Mahaprabhu embraced him and said, you have come to the right conclusion of the Shastra. And he appreciated him. And the Brahmana became overwhelmed by Mahaprabhu's gesture. Similar incident, correct? The world version lady, he was South Indian Brahman. There is one more Brahmana in Mathuras. There is two Mathuras. One Mathura near Vrindavan. The other one is South Indian Mathura. It's called Madurai, we call it. So that is the place I was born in, Madurai. So there is a Meenakshiamman temple in Madurai. So there was one Brahman also whom Mahaprabhu met. So when Mahaprabhu asked him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, my dear Brahman, I told you I'm going to stay in your house. Yesterday night I came and I'm staying. Since morning till noon, you have not served me any prasadam. What about the prasadam program? Any plan you have for serving me? And the Brahmana said, please don't worry. Lakshman has gone to the forest. He will fetch some fruits and berries and roots. When he brings, then Mother Sita will cook. And Ram will eat, and then when the boga is being offered to Ram, then I will offer you prasad. And Mahaprabhu was amazed. What kind of personality is this? And he was very, it is mentioned there in CC, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated his mood, his bhav, because this Brahmana, his chitta had become so absorbed in Lord Ram's pastimes, he was oblivious to the outside world with his material body and material activities. He was like, completely absorbed in that, just like you all know Kulashekhar also, correct, no? It's a similar type of attitude. And then this Brahmana said, although I will feed you, I will not eat anything because I came across Ramayana, Mother Sita was stolen by Ravana. Then Mahaprabhu assured him, Sita can never be touched by anyone. She is like fire. She is Antaranga Shakti. So if somebody tries to take away Sita, they will only get Maya Sita. Only carbon copy of Sita. They cannot get the original copy. Original copy is only with Ram. So that is the Brahmana. So in that Brahmana also, what was the thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated? The bhakti bhav of the Brahmana. The devotional disposition of the Brahmana. That's what he appreciated. And also... You will see that when Mahaprabhu was in Jharkhanda forest, he saw a sleeping tiger on the road midway. He slapped him and woke him up and made him chant Hare Krishna. And then he saw a group of tigers following on one side and a group of deers following on the other behind him. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya became afraid. He hid behind a tree when he saw so many animals around Mahaprabhu. But then Mahaprabhu made them all dance, isn't it, in chanting the holy name. There again, we see, through the chanting of holy name, Mahaprabhu made these animals cry tears of loving ecstasy. Isn't it? That also awakened ecstasy. In the same section, there is one more information mentioned. Mahaprabhu, after going a little distance, there was one lake in which Mahaprabhu went to take a bath and do Gayatri. So he was murmuring Gayatri. And while murmuring Gayatri, and opening his eyes, suddenly he found at the shore of that lake, there were a dozen huge elephants, forest elephants. And they all came to drink water and splash. So Mahaprabhu took some water in the hand and splashed on them. and told them to chant Krishna's name. Chant Hare Krishna, he said. All of them in their own way, they loudly, Hare Krishna, they all chanted with their trunks. And there it is mentioned, one or two of the elephants, they fell on the ground unconscious. Can you imagine? By chanting the holy name. So when I read that section, I was greatly amazed because Mahaprabhu could awaken the dormant Krishna Prema even in the hearts of animals. When Prabhupada went to West, he said, I don't have that ability, Prabhupada said. I can't make animal chant and dance. Only Mahaprabhu can. But I can try to make the hippies chant and make them happy. So one devotee told Prabhupada that Prabhupada actually, we are also animals only, he said, because we are living in a concrete jungle. This is another type of jungle. So why I was quoting all these instances, I will tell you. They all have one central theme, that the goal of Krishna consciousness movement is to cultivate feelings of separation from Krishna. But the separation from Krishna is a very big subject and very far away phenomenon for us. But before one cultivates separation from Krishna, one has to cultivate love for Krishna. Because only when you love someone, when they are away, we can feel separation. For example, if two people, they don't feel any affection for each other, when they are going to be separated, are they going to cry? They won't cry. On the other hand, in families you will see, a girl or a boy is boarding a train and they are going to go to a faraway place for study or something. Mother, father will come with kerchief crying. You have seen that? In the station you can see sometimes. They are going to go away for 6 months or 1 year. Because they have... In those days, I remember when we were studying in our college and all, I rarely would call parents. Because we would do our studies and everything, maybe once in a month or once in 2 months we would call. And we visit home twice a year or something like that. But nowadays children call their parents 3 times a day, you know? They have mobile nowadays, mobile culture, everybody calls like that. So, when they feel affection, they feel separation also. When they are being separated, people feel pain also from those, because they have been very close to them for years together and that has created an emotional bond that causes separation. So if you have to cultivate feelings of separation from Krishna, like Mahaprabhu taught, first you have to have some love for Krishna. But if you have to have love for Krishna, prior to love, we should have some kind of respect for Krishna. Otherwise, love cannot develop. Actually, Prabhupada used the word Shraddha with two meanings. Shraddha means interest. Shraddha means respect also. Like for example, imagine if some item is being served, we have experience in our ashram. If prasadam has some special items, it gets over also very fast. There's a big crowd for it. You say, what is that, pav bhaji, or you say uttapa, or you say puran poli, that kind of special items, when you bring up. And there's a big queue, immediately there's a... people ask, is there a second help, is there a third help? And people finish it off like that. But if you keep poha, people will come and say, what is that poha?
Okay.
They will say, Bad mein, abhi nahin. They don't like it. Because one time we made poha, 2 buckets full, nobody was eating. Then the kitchen head was announcing, hey, poha ko bhagwan nahi pasand kya. Aap log bhagwan ko follow karo, kao abhi. He has to beg the people. So, when the prasadam item is irresistibly attractive, then people run towards prasad. Otherwise, they run away from prasad. Is it not true? Similarly, when we understand the value of Krishna, then we can run after Krishna. If we don't know the value of Krishna, we will not respect Krishna. We cannot run behind Krishna. Like in India now, there is a now kind of culture has come that everybody goes abroad for higher studies. They earn a foreign degree and come back, or some people take green card and settle there also. It has become a very common culture now in India, everywhere. So why? Because there is a kind of thought process in people that if somebody is going out of the country to a foreign land, he is a great soul. Correct? No? Oh, he's studying. My son, my daughter is in Houston. My son is in Boston. So you can see that people raise their collar and say that, what do you think I am? You know, if my son and daughter are there, you can understand who I am also. Thoda soch lo, kis tarah ka aadmi ho. So that is the kind of trend you can see coming up everywhere, all over India. So people have respect for a foreign degree, correct, no? And that is why people are ready to work hard. You know, you study GRE, TOEFL, crack everything and go there. But after going there are people who are taking hose pipe and washing cars also. For getting some salary to pay the university fee. But that is because somehow or other, for getting prestige, one will be ready to wag the tail to anybody. For getting prestige, you will see that. So, when it comes to loving Krishna is a far-fetched thing. Respect for Krishna has to be there. And the respect for Krishna will come how? That will only come by when the, for example, Shukadeva Goswami was madly in love with Krishna. And he was most enlightened about Krishna. He had both. Actually, Divya Jnana means one is enlightened about Krishna. And Prema Bhakti means one is madly in love with Krishna. So we say, Divya Jnana Hrade Prakashito Prema Bhakti Yaha Hoite Avidya Vinasha Jate. So all these three are important. Divya Jnana is also important. Divya Jnana means Jiva, Maya and Krishna. The sambandha between the three. What is sambandha between Jiva and Maya? In Krishna Bulya Sayaji Anadi Bahirmukha Atayeva Maya Deya Samsara Dukkha. When the Jiva turns away from Krishna, then Maya punishes the Jiva. Because the Jiva becomes very nonsensical, mischievous. So one has to understand these three sambandha which Lord Chaitanya explained to Sanatana Goswami. So when one understands the Jnana and Prema Bhakti and Avidya is finished, then the Bhava can be developed. Bhava is not some kind of emotional outburst arising from imaginative ecstasy. Because if somebody has an emotional outburst without solid understanding of the Divya Jnana, that is called Sahajyaism, we call it. Such a kind of emotion for God, devotion to God cannot be awakened simply by reading any book or simply by imagination, Prabhupada says. It has to be actually awakened by genuine realization. That is actually the ultimate goal. As we say, smartavyam satatam vishnum vismartavyam najatu chit sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayor evakinkaraha. This verse says that two things only it says, smartavyam satatam vishnu. Always loving and remembering Krishna, lovingly remembering Krishna. Vismartavyam na jatu chit, never forgetting Krishna. Similarly in spiritual world, you know, you love Krishna and you don't envy Krishna. No other condition. All other conditions are subordinate to this, he says. So, in order for us to be able to come to the point of respecting Krishna, we should be getting an opportunity to focus on Krishna in an undisturbed way. When I say undisturbed way, that doesn't mean, you know, you cannot go to office or Matajis cannot do the household chores. You know, actually, undisturbed way means even in the middle of a fish market, you can call out the holy names very attentively. Even in the, you go to market yard, sabji mandi, people are making noise, badada, badada, alu, 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 you know. So even in the middle, you can chant the holy name very attentively, provided our chitta is in the Krishna's lotus feet. See, Haridas Thakur had wide open eyes when he saw the prostitute, but he didn't fall down. Whereas Saubari Muni went underwater. Why he went underwater? Anybody knows? Saubari Muni was underwater, no? But he saw some two fishes mating and then he married the 50 daughters of Mandata. So I was thinking, is there any of us who can stay underwater and do chanting? After 3 minutes, you have to come out. We will suffocate. But Saubari Muni was sitting underwater, which means he was a powerful yogi. But his chitta was not pure, because of which, you know, the external distraction made him fall down. On the other hand, Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur saw the prostitute, but he saw a spark of Krishna consciousness in her, fanned it and made her into a great devotee. Narada Muni saw Nalakur Manigreeva indulging in the waters of Mandakini Ganga with two women and drinking liquor and everything. Did Nardamani fall down? No. She elevated them by giving them a body of a tree in Nandabhavan. Ajamila saw a dirty sight, but he fell down because his chitta was not pure. So there is one verse in Bhagavatam. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padam Olam Namunchati, it is said. A purified soul can never fall down. And if someone falls down, he is not yet purified. You can understand. So the purified soul, Dhautatma means purified soul. Nirdhuta Kalmasha means purified. Dhautatma Purusha Krishna Padam Olam Namunchati. Takta Sarva Parikleshair Pantasva Saranam Yata. This is the verse. He says if somebody travels all over the world and is very travel stained, extremely tired, and then he is returning to his home. Now at home, his mother, his father, his wife, his children, everybody is there and he is having nice food. You know, he throws everything and then takes a bath and eats prasad and relaxes in an easy chair. Who will want to leave that home to go out for anything else, isn't it? One will be so happy in such a home. So Krishna's lotus feet is compared to such a home for his devotee. So why will the devotee fall down from that place? There is no chance of falling down. Right now you are sitting on the ground. Right now you cannot fall unless you are in some other place to fall, isn't it? So in this way, Ajamila or Narakur Manigri, all these people, or Saubari Muni, these people had impure hearts. So when the impure hearts with Kama Krodha Lobha are not cleansed, then one cannot attain Krishna's lotus feet. They have to be cleansed. And then only one attains perfection. So in the cleansing process, what is important is one-pointed intelligence. Otherwise we get multi-branched intelligence. So when do we get multi-branch? The Shastras say that in this world one should not watch the behavior or the swabhava of the other living entities. And one should not criticize about them or praise them. For example, the other living entities always will show conditioned natures. You know what is conditioned natures? Can you give an example? Anybody? Some conditioned natures of people. You know the word conditioned nature? Yes, Prabhu? Okay, the condition to a certain type of behavior. So in Tamaguna, Rajaguna, Sattvaguna, you can make a list of conditioned behavior. Can you say some examples in Tamaguna conditioned nature? And somebody can give examples. Yes? Sleeping a lot. That means lazy. What else in Tamaguna? Yeah? Intoxication. Yeah, what else? Yeah. Procrastination, okay. Postponing, yeah. Anybody else from Mataji's sign? Yes. In Tamaguna, what are the bad conditioned natures we observe in living beings? Actually, we have to have an answer in two parts. One part is for the people outside ISKCON, and another part is for as devotees. In devotees also, we can have Tamaguna and Rajaguna, Sattaguna, correct, no? Yeah. You want to know devotional service in Tamaguna? I'll show you. This is the verse. Please repeat. Abhisandaya yohimsam dambham matsaryam evava samrambhi bhinna drigbhavam mayi kuryat sa tamasaha. See, devotional service executed by a person who is envious, proud, violent and angry and who is a separatist is considered to be in the mode of ignorance, darkness. That means somebody may be a devotee, but he has these bad qualities. He is competitive and envious, proud that, you know, my service is the best service. Other service is useless. Or he thinks look at me, how much volume of service I can do. See that fellow, he can't do so much service. So in this way, somebody is either proud of his capacity or he is proud of his quality, his service itself. So that is actually mode of ignorance, or violent, or angry. And who is separatist means who does not see the living entities as part and parcel of Krishna. But he sees them separately, because of which he mistreats them, you see. So this is here Prabhupada writes below in the last part of the purport. To act under the direction of one which person must with the motive to please Krishna is Shuddha Bhakti. But one has a motive for personal sense gratification, his devotion service is manifested differently. Such a person may be violent, proud, envious, angry, and neither he says. Here Prabhupada says, one who approaches Supreme Lord to render devotion service, but who is proud of his personality, envious of others, or vengeful and is in mode of anger, he thinks he's the best devotee, he thinks. Atmano bhakti darpataha, he says, he's the best devotee. So devotion service executed in this way is not pure. It is mixed and is of the lowest grade, tamasaha. And such a person of not so good character should be avoided. He cannot be like that, he says. And then one may offer respects to him, but avoid association. This is mode of ignorance. And similarly, the mode of passion also is explained next to this. See this one. Vishayana bisandhaya. Yasha aishwaryamevava. Archadavarchayet yomam. Pratak bhava sarajasaha. The worship of deities in the temple by a separatist with a motive for material enjoyment, fame, and opulence is devotion in mode of passion. He is saying that the mixed devotees or devotees in passion think that the interest of the Supreme Lord is supplying orders of the devotee. Basically, they want material desires, like Dhruva Maharaj wanted material benedictions. The interest of such devotees is to draw from the Lord as much as possible for the sense gratification. This is separatist mentality. And then this is this thing. Karma nirhara muddishya parasmin va tadarpanam yajet yashtavyam itiva pritak bhavasya sattvikah. See, when a devotee worships the Supreme Lord and offers the results of his activities, and his goal is what? He wants to become purified. He wants purification. That is actually in Sattva Guna. Is it wrong to want to get purified? See, in Sattva Guna we want to get purified. In Shuddha Sattva we want to please. That's all. We have no other goal. So that is why it is said impure, no, semi-pure, pure, ultra pure. So there are four stages. So in tamaguna, rajaguna, you will see generally one is impure, isn't it? And then as one is going from rajaguna to sattaguna, one is going like this, like waves. That is called semi pure, we call it. When one perfects in sattaguna, then one is called pure. And then one transcends sattaguna, then goes to shuddha bhakti, is called ultra pure, completely shuddha sattva. You call like this. So, in this way, why I was telling you this, I will tell you. One should be able to avoid categorizing the living entities based on their conditioned nature and their behavior, and criticizing them or appreciating them. But one should raise one's vision to hearing the name, form, qualities, pastimes and activities of the Lord. At the point. Because what will happen when we, for example, I'll tell you, well, you may say, oh, that devotee is a strict devotee. This devotee is a liberal devotee, one may say. And he may say, hey, this devotee is a good devotee. That devotee is a bad devotee. But you will see, the bad devotee who was bad 5 years before, over the years, he changes many of his natures, behaviors. Because one might have behaved in a bad way and caused some, learned some lessons through school of hard knocks, we say, no? And then one might have refined. So, how many of you know the story of Naked Pencho, you know? Naked Pencho story, correct, na? You can tell, Prabhu, give the mic to him. Tell, what is Naked Pencho? Yeah, it's working. Now it's working.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I don't know exactly, Prabhuji, but when Pencho was small, he used to run naked everywhere.
In the village.
In the village, mm-hmm. basically. So, as he, and he was named as Naked Pencho because very small, he kept on it. As he grew up, you know, he started wearing clothes, he started, but still they kept referring him as Naked Pencho because during the childhood he used to perform. Yeah. So, they branded him continuously.
They branded him as a Naked Pencho. Mm-hmm. But then this boy grew up, went to London, did barrister, came back, he became High Court Magistrate. Then the news went to the village people. Somebody told him, hey, have you a high court magistrate ban gaya? Then people said, hey, impossible. He's a Naked Pencho. They all said like that. But then they said, no, really, we went and saw with our eyes. He's wearing all those dress and everything. Then the old people said, maybe he's doing job free of cost without taking any salary. You know, they were saying. Similarly, you see, sometimes when a person reforms, people don't believe that this person can reform. This is called fossilized perception, we call it. We keep old perceptions, we refuse to change it. So if we don't change our perception, then we see them from our old idea, what we thought of them to be. But in case they have changed, then right now they might be changed people. Correct, no? So, but we are stuck in our old thing, so we keep on criticizing in the same manner. So Shastras, Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto, don't criticize. Two things he is telling. One is, in this world, sukha dukkha, don't keep chasing after them and trying to modify your material life in such a way that you can be more comfortable. One example, I'll tell a little story, then you will understand it. You will appreciate this point. You know, there is a story of once how scientists wanted to test the behavior of rats. So they had made three platforms. In one platform, if the rat would beat, you know, immediately the rat saw from the top, one piece of makkan will fall down. And the rat would taste it, oh, this is wonderful. You beat here and you get makkan. So he went and told the news to all the rats, and all the rats came around this, and they all were beating and taking makkan, beating and taking, they were taking. In the meantime, one rat thought, it's too crowded here, let me find out what is the other platform. So he went there and he bet that platform. As soon as he bet, it was a chill winter season at that time. Like that, some very nice hot air came. He felt so jolly. Just like in the early morning when you put hot water on your head, how you feel very nice. Oh, so nice. Some people feel like, let me go on taking bath. So I don't feel cool, isn't it? So he felt very nice. And other rats were watching at him. Hey, that fellow seems to be happy. What is the matter? So they ate makkan here and they went there and rested there. In the hot air. They were also beating and resting, beating and resting. In the meantime, a third rat went to the third platform and thought, everywhere it's crowded. Here, what is it? Let us see. So he went that. He got a shock. Electric shock. He jumped off and he announced to all the rats, hey, don't go there. You get a shock there. Dangerous it is. Then all the rats agreed not to go there. But now the scientists changed the polarities now. So the first one, when they were beating, shock came. They were shocked. What is this? So now where do we get the makkan then? And they went to the middle one. There they pressed. Then they got the makkan there. So then they tried the third one. There they got some puff of air. So now they got confused. Which one is for what? They understood one thing. This was only possible to be known only by trying. Keep trying this. And they were trying. Now the scientists opened the door from behind to check what all the rats are doing. None of the rats wanted to come out. They're going round and round. Beat this and round. They were beating different things like this. See, this story many of you might have heard before, but it has a very deep moral. You see, the makkan is compared to heavenly planets. And the puff of hot air is compared to earthly planet. And the electric shock platform is compared to hellish planets. So everybody knows, and those who have studied Shastra, if you go to heaven, you know, there are a lot of pleasures and vast duration of life. And great comforts and luxuries. And when there are many Brahmanas who do Jyotishtama sacrifice and all to go there. And now for us, now if you want to explain about heavenly planets, you can tell people about America. India is like an earthly planet and America is like a heavenly planet. People go there for luxury, nice roads, nice systems, you know, nice money, you know, comfort, luxury, good climate, everything. People go for that. But even in heavenly planet, sometimes when Indra is sitting and hearing some apsara singing very nicely with Veena, he's peacefully enjoying. Suddenly you find some demons come. Like the demons come. Shouting and yelling, carrying weapons, and Indra has to run away from that place. We heard in Bhagavatam, na, when Indra was cursed by his guru, then he had to leave everything and go. So there also, the Makan platform also, you get shock sometimes. Shock comes sometimes. Isn't it? So sometimes demigods also pray that, my dear Lord, the heavenly planets, you know, too much luxury, so we become complacent. We are not able to pay attention to Lord. So send us to earth. Because earth, we can do a crash course in 100 years and go back to Godhead. Because in heavenly planets, we live too long. Earthly planet, we live only 100 years only. Even they desire to come. But it is not that earth is very comfortable. In earth, there is a mixture of suffering and happiness. In hell, there is too much suffering. In heaven, there is too much enjoyment. But earth, there is mixture of happiness and suffering in proportion. So that's why, so when you, there is some comfort, there is a puff of hot air, but there is nothing to eat. There is some comfort is there in the earth. So, what this story conveys to us, the rats became so bogged up running round and round and beating the platforms, so the door was open, they did not escape. So we should not be like these rats, but when the door is open, we should be able to take advantage. That is the lesson from this. Once I asked a question to students, you see, even in a C-class jail, in the morning, when you wake up, they don't give you, you know, hot water. Night when you sleep, they don't give you mosquito net. They don't give you blanket to cover, even in chill, cold winter. And the food is only rice dal, that's all. This is C-class jail, I don't think anybody will want to stay there. But in A-class jail, I told them, all these facilities are there. You get hot water, you get chapati, rice dal, sabji, everything, sweet also. And you get mosquito net to sleep. Then I asked the boys, how many of you prefer A-class jail instead of C-class? Most of them raised hand. Almost 90% of them raised hand. Only 2-3 fellows were not raising. Then I asked them, they said, sir, we have to think about it. I would prefer not to be in the jail, he said. I would like to quit the jail, they said. That is real intelligence. Correct, no? So, in this way, Lord Krishna told Uddhava, if you are praising and criticizing the things of this world, you will get stuck up in this world. But if you focus on the Supreme Lord and pay attention to His Leela Katha, everything, then you will go back there. That is the lesson He told. Paramahansa Radhananda Swami Maharaj used to tell one story. Once upon a time, there were a few landlords staying in a row houses. Not a row house, independent compound. What do you call that house? Independent bungalows in a certain, you know, area. One day, suddenly a horse came into his compound and it was grazing in his garden, within his compound. And the horse just stayed there. So the neighbor came and said, oh, what a good luck for you. You got a free horse without having to spend any money. So the owner was a devotee of the Lord. He said, Ishwar ki icha, apne aap aa gaya, ye goda. Maine icha nahi kiya, Bhagwan ki icha. Theek hai, God has gifted me with a horse. So after a few days, his son went on a ride on the back of the horse and he broke his leg because the horse ran very fast due to some fear. It threw him off when it was galloping. So he fractured his leg and he was admitted to hospital. Then the neighbor came and said, alas, alas, sir, it is a bad luck for you. And this horse has come and broken your son's leg. He said, ये भी ईश्वर की इच्छा, जो होना है वही हुआ है, हम क्या कर सकते हैं, what can we do? It's all God's wish, he said. Then a few days later, the army people came and they were drafting the young boys. So the neighbor's son was taken away by the army people. And they came here and saw this fellow lying down with a broken leg and they said, you know, useless fellow, what can we do with him? They didn't take him. So the neighbor came running, crying and he said, sir, my son has been taken away. अभी आपका good luck है. अच्छा है कि इसका टांग टूट गया. सो ही सेट होम विथ यू, हाउ फॉर्चुनेट यू आर. ही सेट, अरे ईश्वर की इच्छा, ईश्वर ने बचाने की सोचा है इसको, इसलिए छोड़ दिया. अरे इट्स ऑल भगवान की इच्छा है सर. देन आफ्टर सम डेज the horse vanished. It went away. Then the neighbor came and said, "Alas, alas, abhi bad luck ho gaya aapka. Itna acha ghoda mila tha, abhi chala gaya ghoda. Then what will you do without it? Very unfortunate. You could have used the horse very nicely." He said, "It's not a bad luck. Why? Because apne aap aaya, apne aap chala gaya. Ye to mera nahi tha. It's not mine. No problem," he said. But then after a few days, 3-4 days, that horse came back with his mate. I think the horse got married and came, I think. With the husband-wife horse. Both of them came, you know. And they both came and came into the compound. Then the neighbor came running and said, "Wow, wow, what a good luck again. Abhi do gudi mil gaya aapko. Pahle ek tha, abhi do mil gaya aapko." He said, "Ye bhi Bhagwan ki icha, Ishwar ki icha." So, this story Maharaj was telling. See, one interesting observation he made. Out of these two people, the owner, landlord, every time what he said? Ishwar ki icha. Bhagwan ki icha jo bhi hai. Agar nuksan bhi ho, laab bhi ho. It's all Lord's wish. I am not independent. Lord is the controller. Like that man was speaking. Whereas the neighbor, what he was thinking always? How he was counting? Good luck, bad luck was important. He never thought of God at all. So he got stuck up in good luck, bad luck, and this fellow went back to Godhead. You understand? So in our life also, we should know that if sufferings come, we should find out how these sufferings can be used to come closer to Krishna. Just like our Kunti Maharani is telling, you know, when there was war, you were with us. The war is over, you are going away. When we were in jungle struggling, you were with us. When our struggles got over, now we are going away. So it is better that even if there is struggle in our life, we would be happy to have struggle so that we can have you. You see, this may be a little frightening verse to say that give us suffering. Many people say, "Prabhu, there is enough suffering for me. I will not ask for more." But there is a reason why, in one lecture I was speaking, there was a small boy. How old is she? Yeah, she is 2 years. How old is she? 5 years. Little bigger than her. Probably 6-7 year old boy, probably. I was telling one little story, and this boy quickly responded to this. You know, once a group of small boys were playing cricket. They were all about 8 or 10 year old boys. They were all playing cricket. And while the correct ball came and hit one boy's knee, and it got wounded. He started bleeding immediately. So the other boys picked him up and took him, caught hold of him and lifted him up and took him to a hospital. They took him to a doctor, and the doctor had a nurse, and that nurse was a very loving lady. With very great affection and love, she put the bandage and everything, and all the while she was talking to this boy in a very sweet tone. And this boy was an orphan. His father only was there, mother had died, passed away. So last 6-7 years, when he was newly born, only 1 or 2 years she lived. After that she passed away. So because of which this boy always had a longing for motherly love. So now when the nurse was speaking like this, seeing her and hearing her tone, he developed a kind of great affection. And he cried tears in remembering his mother. Then when he came out of the hospital, he went home. 2-3 months later, he was playing cricket again. So he told his friends, "I wish I again get wounded in my knee." And no friends could understand. So then I asked the question to audience, why did he wanted to get wounded again? So this small kid who was about, you know, 8 years or 10 year old boy, he said, "Usko maa ka pyar chahiye usko." He said, this boy said, "Usko kya chahiye? Maa ka pyar chahiye." That's why he wants to go to hospital. How many of you understood this story? You understood? All of you understood it? You understood? Anybody could not catch it? If you have doubts, I'll explain to you. Anybody? All of you understood it. You have little doubt, Prabhu? Yeah. See, this boy was an orphan. His mother was dead. So when he got wounded in the knee, boys took him to a hospital where the nurse who was putting bandage for him, she very lovingly nursed him. So he remembered whom? His mother. Now after coming home, also he was remembering her. And then after 2-3 months when he was playing, he told his friends, "I wish I get wounded again," he said. Why? Because if he's wounded again, where will they take him? Hospital. And whom will he meet? The same nurse. And what will he get by meeting the nurse? He can get affection. Similarly, Kunti is telling, let us have problems again. Why? Because if problems are there, who will be there? Krishna will be there with us. And if Krishna is there, you may ask, what is the advantage of having Krishna with me? Right now, imagine, Krishna suddenly comes in front of you and tells you, I am here now, take me now. What will you do with Krishna now? You will think, one more member is included in a house now. We have to cook for that fellow also. So we have to know, unless we have awakened love for Krishna, it is difficult to manage having Krishna. Correct, isn't it? So that is why he says that we have to rise above the good luck, bad luck situation of this world. Because in this world, the nature will always throw, happy and bad moments. Sukha, dukkha, shita, ushna, man, apaman. It will come, go, come, go. One should not be bogged down by the reversals in this world. Rather, we should be like that gentleman who said, Ishwar ke cha, jo hona hai, Bhagwan ki arrangement hai. You think like that and then you focus there. And the verse which I showed you, in the beginning which we sang, I'll speak about it for 10 minutes and then we will conclude. So, this is a very beautiful verse. See, this verse explains, why is it wonderful to have the association of Krishna? See, Krishna is such a Lord that every limb of His body is divine and transcendental. And unless we understand the transcendental nature of Krishna, we can never develop respect and affection for Him. See, His eyes are so powerful that once when Kaliya entered the Yamuna and poisoned the waters and everything, coward boys went to the Yamuna and they drank those waters and they died. And they were all lying in the bank of Yamuna. Even the birds which flew over Yamuna, they dropped to the ground dead, isn't it? They dropped into the Yamuna and died. But when Krishna came, as soon as He looked at the coward boys, immediately by that drishtipath, they all woke up. Such is the power of His eyes. Can you imagine? Is there anybody in this world, they glance at somebody and the person wakes up to life. The trees which were all charcoal-like, blackish because of poison, when Krishna looked at them, they all became green again. And in the same manner, Kunti is telling, please repeat this verse. Ime janapada sriddaha supakvaushadi virudaha janadri nadihi Janadri nadi udanvanto hedante tava vikshitaihi. See, Kunti Maharani is saying, my dear Krishna, if you look at the oceans, they become filled with Navaratnas. If you look at the mountains, they become filled with gold and silver and, diamond and everything, minerals. If you look at the trees, they become laden with fruits. If you look at the beautiful garden, they become filled with blooming flowers. Wherever you throw your eyes, glance, that place becomes, that place flourishes. So she is telling that now if you go away, now if you don't put your glance, everything here will dry up in Hastinapur. Like that she is telling. So this is the verse, because it is said when, actually it is a fact that Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti, later on I understood from one Prabhupada lecture. What is the meaning of Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti? What are the two eyes of God in this world which we can see with our eyes? Sun and moon. Sun is a hot eye and moon is a cool eye. With a hot eye, Lord creates all the plants. Correct? No, through the rains. He creates all the plants. And all the plants are producing flowers, fruits, everything. And with the moon, He supplies six types of juices. Isn't it? Like sweet, bitter, pungent, salt, sour, astringent, He supplies. So in this way, with a hot and cool eye, He creates facilities for all the jivas to eat their food. And this is why Maya Adhyakshana Prakriti, I am supervising the nature with whom? With my two eyes. God is supervising like this. So in this way, Lord's eyes are so powerful that He is able to produce all these foods simply by the glance of His sun and moon. So when Prabhupada was speaking this, one devotee in the class asked, Prabhupada, if sun and moon are the Lord's eyes, why can't we see Krishna's full face? We only see two eyes. Prabhupada said, in the night, have you seen a cat? Prabhupada asked. Huh? What do you see in the night when you see a cat? Only two eyes. Why can't you see the face? And the devotee said, because the night it is dark. In darkness you can't see the face, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, material world is also dark. Tamasoma. So you can see only the two eyes. Like that he said. Prabhupada has such a presence of mind. So, in this way, Krishna's eyes are producing everything that we eat. Prabhupada said, scientists and atheistic fellows cannot give you nuts and bolts to eat. You can't eat them. But Krishna's eyes have to glance to give this. Correct? So this is power of the Lord's eyes. And also Lord showed the power as Lord Ramachandra when he looked with his eyes at the ocean. You know, when Samudra Devata refused to come, Lord Rama looked at the ocean and the whole ocean started boiling. Even Timingalas and sharks, they were all trembling. At that time, Samudra Devata came running and fell at the feet of Rama and said, my dear Rama, my Lord, I actually could have easily come before you, but you are playing the role of a human being. That is why I didn't come. If a human is telling me to give way, can any of us go in front of ocean and say, hey, give way? Will the ocean hear us? So I'm not supposed to give you way because you are doing drama of a human. That's why I didn't come. If only you told me before that I should give way, I would have given. Like that he said. And then Rama smiled and said, okay, no problem. I take back my anger. But Rama also showed his anger to show the world who he is actually. How powerful. You cannot take one glass of water and, you know, make it boil. Can you do that? Isn't it? If I want to heat it, then I need some heater and this thing. Correct, no? But Lord can simply, with a mere glance. See, we have some power in our eyes. If somebody is playing kartal wrongly, you look at him. Then he may change. Little bit we can do. But Lord can make a ocean tremble. Correct, no? This is the power of his eyes. Similarly, the Lord also, as Vishnu, Mahavishnu, he looks at the spiritual world, picks up all the living entities, and then glances at the material nature and impregnates them in Durga. Correct, no? That's called Saha Aikshataha. Saha Asrijata. It's an Upanishad, it is said. Lord is glancing and the Lord is creating the material world. Both, he creates a material world, then glances and puts them. So, somebody was asking, how can you pick up so many souls from spiritual world and put them in the material world? How is it possible for the Lord? Actually, with eyes, the Lord can do so many things. Like one time when I was in my village, I saw my grandfather. He was sitting in an easy chair and reading some newspaper. So, we used to have a mango orchard, you know. So, one man brought all mangoes in a sack. And he would stand at the door and say, Swami, I brought this mango sack. So he would say, you do, like that he said, did like this. And immediately that fellow put it in the godown. So just as he is transferring a sack of mangoes into godown, merely by his glance, correct? Now, similarly, Mahavishnu, he glances spiritual world and transfers jivas into material world, correct? So Lord can do such kind of things. Possible for him. And that Mahavishnu is only called as Kala, means Amsha Amsha of Krishna. You see? Krishna doesn't have to do this business of creating the world and running the whole show. You see? His eyes are meant for, you know, his beautiful eyes are meant for, appreciate, for the devotees to appreciate in the Goloka Vrindavan. So, now I told you about the eyes. In this shloka, he is talking about two things. Charanam iyusham samsriter bhayat. If somebody takes shelter of your lotus feet, Krishna, your lotus feet are so powerful, they can save us from the fear of samsara, he says. Lord's one name is Abhaya Charanara Vindare. Abhaya Charanara Vindare. So, if you take shelter of his lotus feet, then he awards you fearlessness. One of our students in the before becoming devotee, he was telling me that when he was walking in the road at night, he used to be very fearful of ghosts. So one day it was a rainy day and nobody was in the road. He was already fearful. Suddenly there was power cut. Everywhere there was pitch darkness. So he became extremely fearful. I am alone. Now there is no one. Who will save me now? Anytime ghost can come, and suddenly he saw, like that something came like this, you know, with two hands like this. So he thought some ghost is coming to catch me. He fell to the ground, unconscious practically. After some time, the power came and people sprinkled water, lifted up. Kya ho gaya, kya ho gaya? Then he said, a ghost came to attack me. Then they woke him up, he saw it was an electric pole, you know. It was a tall electric pole. Just very close to that he came. So he was thinking. Now he is chanting Hare Krishna. Now he said, all my fear is gone now. Now I can walk on the road. I see so many electric poles. I have no fear now. You are selling. So, in this way, Krishna takes away all the fear when one becomes a devotee. Nowadays, even devotees come to know that they have blood cancer or they have some disease. You know this Maharaj, Sridhar Maharaj? Actually, he had some hepatitis from abroad and his stomach became swollen like a big this thing with water and everything. So doctor told that, you know, you will leave body within a few days. You will not live longer. So he came to Mayapur. As soon as he landed in Mayapur, he raised his hand and said, now I am liberated now. I am in Dham now. I have no worry. Now I may live one day or I may live 1 week maximum. He knew that. He was, see, his one of his names was Jolly Swami. Because he was always jolly. So when doctor came, that time also doctor was giving some medicine for avoiding pain and all that. It's called as pain management, they call it. He came. So when the doctor came and doing something in the stomach, he was asking doctor, doctor, you know, what is there in the belly? Is it a boy or a girl? He was joking. And the doctor was surprised how this fellow can be so, you know, cool, like this. And also, there Mayapur visitors come. So Maharaj told, this 1 week, please give me a lot of preaching opportunity. I'm going to leave the body. So he would call a group of people into his room, 40, 50 people, and tell them, see, in 1 week I'm going to leave the body. And he said that, but I will tell you how fortunate I am. You know, I got Prabhupada's shelter and I got the Mahamantra. Now I am living in Dham. I am living in the company of devotees. And I am living in the bank of Ganges. And I am getting the fortune to go back to Godhead. And he said that, but although I have to leave the body, I have no fear, he said. Why? Because the body is different from me. So I have nothing to worry about the body. Body will be, when I leave this body, I'll get another body. So when once a group of school children came, some 50, 100 children, when they heard him speak, just for 15 minutes he spoke to them in that 1 week period. So all of them took mala from him. Personally took mala and they all chanted one round and they went. So he was very boldly preaching at that time. So in this way, a devotee becomes completely fearless when after taking shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And the Lord's lotus feet are the same feet, you know, which saved many, many personalities. You all know, one snake swallowed Nanda Baba and Krishna touched with his feet. What happened? Out came, who came? Vidyadhar. One Vidyadhar, demigod with mukut and kundal and beautiful golden dazzling form. And then he offered obeisances and prayed. He had actually got a curse because of ridiculing, I think, one rishi, I think. Some rishi who had a Ashtavakra, I think. He had a crooked body and he laughed. So because of which he got the snake's body. He called him, you know, crooked body. So he also got a snake's body. Yeah? Like that. So another time, Krishna touched his lotus feet to one lizard. And what came out of lizard's body? That happened amongst the Yadus. When Yadus, that is Nriga, King Nriga, who had committed some mistakes while giving charity. So he had become a lizard. So he, simply by touching with his feet, he liberated, you see. Similarly, the Lord Vishnu's feet are always massaged by Lakshmi. It is the same feet from which the Ganges is flowing, because when Vaman Dev raised his foot like this, cracked the shell of the universe, and the water from the Viraja river came and it washed his feet and came down. That is the time Brahma came out of his Satyaloka. And suddenly he wondered, what is this? Somebody is lifting his feet, such a big feet. And then he looked down, who it is? And it was Vamanadev. And Brahma immediately got the news, this is Lord Trivikrama. And he is Lord Krishna only, who has come in the form of Vamana. Immediately Brahma ran inside and brought the puja paraphernalia. Your lotus feet is right in front of your eyes. What you will do? And immediately started the puja. Immediately ringing the bell. Like sometimes we wash the feet of the Lord and we take the Charanamrita, and Brahma got Charanamrita immediately, and the Ganges came to the heavenly planets, and then she came down. Recently I went to Haridwar and Rishikesh. We went for a Brahmachari Yatra. So we were in Rishikesh. Bah, Ganges, you will be amazed if you see the Ganges there. Such a rapid, such a fastly flowing Ganges, and very, very big waves also in that. Then we went up the hill into the Himalayas. We went to a place called Devaprayag. The Devaprayag is a confluence of Mandakini Ganga also and Bhagirathi also. See, Bhagirathi looks like pure milk. It's like very white milk. It looks like milky. You know, Bhagirathi milk, Bhagirathi Ganga comes in the Bharat Maharaj pastime. You read about Bhagirathi. And the Mandakini Ganga looks like transparent glass. Amazing. Both of them are Ganga coming from Gangotri. And they come down, and here there is a meeting point. So we went and took bath there. They say it's a very, very holy place. Lord Ram took bath. There is a Raghunath temple also there. And that is a place Radhanath Swami Maharaj was carried by the water. That is there in the journey home. Later on he was saved. So we went to that place. So the Ganga originally flows from the Lord's lotus feet, and Shiva agreed to carry it on his head, especially because it is flowing from where? From the Lord's lotus feet. Correct, no? So Shiva is taking it on his head. So in this way, one should contemplate on the lotus feet of the Lord. I also came to know recently that in all the great personalities' feet, there are some symbols. Some demigods like Brahma, Shiva, they also have some symbols. But they have like 8 or 6 or 12 like that. Very great personalities have more symbols, like 16. And Krishna has 24 symbols in his lotus feet. Each of the symbols are so powerful. You can have one exclusive class on the symbols in Krishna's lotus feet. They are very wonderful, it is. So, like there is a lotus in Krishna's lotus feet, which represents that Krishna's feet are also like lotus, and it stands on lotus, which is spiritual world is like a lotus also. Similarly, in Krishna's feet, there is an umbrella, which represents the Indra's umbrella, which means if you become a devotee, Krishna will increase devotee's fame. Like it is said, Lokanam Kirti Vardhanam, it is said. So you will see, after you became a devotee, your life changed and you became a person of great character and nobility, and many, many people will appreciate your life. So, like that, each of it, like there is a mean. Mean means fish. That fish represents, devotees of Krishna are like fish. They cannot live without the juice of Krishna consciousness. They will always live in the water of Krishna, and they always live in Krishna's feet. And fish also represents the Makaradvaja, the Madan who carries an insignia with a symbol of fish. Krishna defeats Madan and puts it on the ground. So fish is there in his feet. Because Madan fainted now when he saw Krishna. Krishna became Madan Mohan. So like this, you can study about each symbol. So when we are taking darshan of Radha Vrindavan Chandra also, we should look at Krishna's lotus feet and think of some of these symbols. There is a thunderbolt in Krishna's lotus feet. So that thunderbolt represents what? Gopis are saying, Pranata Dehinam Papakarshinam. Your thunderbolt-like feet destroy the mountain of sinful reactions from our previous lives, they are saying. That kind of power is there in your feet. So we can be assured that if I become Krishna's devotee, Krishna will purify my heart because his lotus feet are extremely pavan, extremely pure. So in this way, we could say a lot about the symbols in Krishna's lotus feet. Now I told you about the eyes, I told you about the feet. In this song, they are saying, Kara Saroruham. Kara means hand. So when the gopis are saying, Shirasi Dehinaha, please keep your hand on our heads, they are saying. Because your hands are supremely auspicious. You know, in Kanchipuram, there is one famous deity. Of whom? Vara Da Raj. Vara means boon. Da means giver. Like Nara Da. You say, no? Similarly, Vara Da, giver of boons. Raj means he's a king of giver of boons. Somebody can give you 10 rupees. Somebody can give you 100. Somebody can give you 1 lakh rupees loan, interest free loan. Or somebody can give you 1 crore. Krishna is Vara Da Raj means he can give you anything. He can give you all material and spiritual worlds. So it's Varadaraj. So with his hands, If Krishna shows his hand to somebody like this, he can protect anyone. And Krishna's hands are so pure that when Arjuna would get battle wounds, you know, in the body, Krishna would, in the night, he would go and do like this. When he would do like this, immediately the wound would vanish just by Krishna's mere touch. Can you imagine how amritamay his hand must be? It is so powerful. Huh? Like you heard this, move or something. It's gone, they say. No? What is that? Huh? Oh, it's gone. Huh? Move, what is the advertisement for? Move only, yeah? Yeah, yeah. So that's what Krishna did. It's gone. All the wounds are gone from Arjuna's body. And next day morning, Arjuna would see how my wounds are gone so fast. So Krishna's hands are capable of awarding benedictions. There is one verse in the Narasimha Leela. Swapadamolam patitam tamarbakam. Seeing the small boy fallen in his own lotus feet. Swapadamolam patitam tamarbakam vilokya deva kripaya paripluta. Seeing that, Lord Narasimha became erupted in ecstasy, seeing that small child. Uttapya tatshirshan, immediately lifted him up. Adadat kara ambujam, he touched his head. Kalarki vitrasta dhiyam kritabhayam. And Prahlad became completely freed from any tinge of materialism that could have been in him, which is almost impossible. And Lord touched his head, Prahlad's head. And all the divya jnan, hriday prakashito, happened to Prahlad. Everything, he became completely enlightened. And that is why gopis are saying to Krishna that you touch our head also, they are saying. See, for Dhruva, the Lord touched his head with a shank, but for Prahlad, he touched directly. And as soon as Lord touched Prahlad's head, immediately Lord Narasimha smiled. That's the only picture where he smiles. In all other places, very dangerous. Everybody is fearful. So this is Lord Narasimha. Because by coming in touch with the devotee, the Lord's ecstasy increases like that, you see. So his hands are very divine also. When gopis are dancing with Krishna in transcendental ecstasy, they are all exhibiting, Ashtasatvika vikar. Romancha kampasharu taranga bhajo. So with their semi-closed eyes, when the music is going on, whenever I go to Chaupati, when Maharaj sings after the Sunday feast, I feel it's like rasa dance, kirtan. That kirtan, very powerful it goes on. And they have very good team to play mridangam and kartal and everything. So when they are singing, when the gopis are dancing to the tune of the kirtan and completely absorbed, they forgot the external world. At that time, many drops of perspiration came on their forehead and cheeks, pearl-like perspirations. Krishna, looking at their perspiration, he wiped their perspiration in order to render them free. So they're free from that perspiration. At that time, the gopis felt, because Krishna's hand came so close to their nose, it appeared like a fragrant rose or a lotus. Just like sometimes you buy a rubber, pink rubber, you smell. Like that Krishna's hand was smelling. So that kind of smell came. Actually, it is a fact, Krishna's body must be extremely fragrant. Otherwise, how that Putana's body got fragrant, correct, no? Just two lips touching Putana's body rendered it so fragrant. When they cut the body of Putana to burn, it gave out so much fragrance. Even Agasura's mouth was fishy smell, that was gone and immediately. Nowadays, what they do in the train also, when you go in first class, they put some freshener, I think, is it? Air freshener they put, because it starts stinking everywhere they put. So, similarly, you find Krishna's body is extremely fragrant. So, we can talk about Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna's lotus hands, Krishna's glands, his eyes. And Krishna from his own navel can produce a baby. Who is that baby? Brahma. But he's not a baby because he's directly born as a great sage, great demigod. And most amazing, this personality doesn't need any breast milk of the mother also. After he is born, simply by looking at Lord's beauty, he is nourished. Brahmaji. Actually, in that lotus, there were millions of jivas shining like diamond particles. But Lord was looking at it and he saw one was highly qualified. Who was it? Brahma. Then Lord made him the first son. And Lord delegated the business of creating 8.4 million species to him. He said, you take the business. I can relax. Lord was. Not just relax. So we should learn how to delegate from the Lord. Huh? Delegated the service. And also he told him, then Brahma asked, I will create all the bodies of these people in three gunas, but they will create a lot of havoc, huh? Running around in the world here and there, pulling one another, punching one another, what to do? Then Lord said, okay, take this Vedas also. Teach some good knowledge and ask them to keep quiet, huh? And go back to Godhead. So he gave Vedas also. Srila Prabhupada ki.